Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. It's about 7 o'clock over here at the Lighthouse on Wednesday morning. Got a couple, three fishermen out doing some fishing. It's kind of a muggy morning, but it's still overcast, but it's kind of a nice day for being sitting here doing the radio broadcast. So I'm glad to be coming your way this morning. You tune me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we're now streaming this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. You tune me in, by the way, of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome all of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web. And others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Also, some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over that, and it'll show up Current Media. Click on Current Media, and the top one is the message for today. Whatever way you join me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of our broadcast this morning. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast time of expenses that I have. And so thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and we thank you for your support. And also to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area and to Shiloh Community Church. We just appreciate the support so much, and it allows me to be on the broadcast time. Out to Shiloh, by the way, on Saturday evening is 6:30 service. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we're all spaced out good. It's a nice being able to gather together instead of just by the way of Facebook. Over the Greenville campus, where we have now the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street, that service is at 11 o'clock. They've been having their services outdoors, but they had to move inside last Sunday because of the rain weather. And I give a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our special music, our music for this morning. She makes it special every week, and I appreciate her so much for doing that. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of the broadcast. Our message this morning, we're taking us some questions that Jesus asked. And I believe every time Jesus asked a question, it was to help the people not just give an answer off the top of their head, but to think deeper, much deeper. Think what they're really saying and think what they're really asking. And think of what they're really, what Jesus's question is all about. Well, we'll address that in just a few moments. But as we do, we need to get started on a song that I have. This song takes you back to Sunday school, folks. It's an old Sunday school song that we used to sing with our kids, and I'm hoping our grandkids still sing it because it's a pretty special song, and we just want to share that with you this morning, and then we'll go from there for the message, okay? And God will minister to us.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man
Well, I like that, folks. I like that song. It brings back in my mind, I never went to Sunday school as a child. My folks didn't go, and so we never attended church. I started attending church when I was about 17, and so I didn't learn that as a child, but my wife would lead the music for the children, and we'd have day camp and stuff, and they always liked to sing that song, and that brings back some memories to me of a younger period of time in my life, and I'm glad to be able to tell you that those were blessed times when he did some of those things that we've done in the past to help the people to understand who the Lord is and what he come to do for each one of us. Well, I want to have a word of prayer with the listening audience this morning. And as I mentioned last week, I'd like to start something that I did at Shiloh Church for many, many years as I was pastor there. And that was, I'd like to ask on Sunday morning before I did a morning prayer, is there any unspoken request? Now, I realize I can't hear your unspoken request, but I just want you to focus on something that's a prayer need in your life, something that maybe kept you up last night, maybe, or maybe it's just something that seems to be gnawing away at your heart and life, and we just need to consider what it is, and I wanted that to be an unspoken prayer request. And when I come to my place in my prayer where I'm going to remember those unspoken prayer requests, I'm just going to ask you just to focus on what it was that you was asking for prayer for, and we're going to look to the Lord to give us some answers, okay? So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Once again, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, and what a privilege it is to come before the throne of the living God, and you remind us that we can come with confidence because you have promised you're going to hear us. You're going to answer our prayer according to your will. So, Father, as we come, I'm remembering this morning the listening audience, those that have tuned me in on whatever station they've tuned me in or listened on my website. We just thank you for each one this morning and ask your special blessing to be upon them and to minister to whatever their need is. I realize from week to week, Father, things change tremendously in our lives, and maybe it's something that they're discouraged about. Would you encourage them? Maybe it's something, Father, that is really a physical pain, physical difficulty. We just ask our Father that you would be with them in that physical pain. Maybe some of them's recovering from surgery. Maybe some's battling cancer, Father, and they had chemo this week, and it's been a very difficult week. Maybe somebody under your listening ear has just found out they have cancer. Maybe they lost a loved one. And so I pray your special blessing to be upon them. And then, Father, this morning I'd like to start sharing with the people the need of unspoken requests. So right now, Father, I want to remember the unspoken requests of the listening audience. Whatever it is that they're focusing on right now as an unspoken request, dear Father, would you be pleased to minister to that? Would you be pleased, dear Father, to meet them at the point of their individual need? And would you give them the strength and the courage or whatever it takes to look to you for that answer? Father, we're mixing the promises that you've given us with faith this morning. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Father, I'm reaching out by faith to whatever that unspoken request is and asking you to minister to it today. And I'll thank you and praise you for it. Now, Father, we take a look at your son, the Lord Jesus, and some questions he had for the people that was a part of his day and age, that these questions are still very important for us in our day and age. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, what a privilege it is, and I don't just say that to share with you. You know, I was sitting in my family room thinking the other day, as I was preparing devotion for my Facebook page. I'm a public figure on Facebook, and how you get to me is just, if you're on Facebook, just type up in that search bar, Pastor Ken Harger, and it'll show up my devotion for that day. Then I tell people, if it helps you, love it. And if you like it, it's just the Reddit, well, just like it, okay? And when you like it or love it a few times, well, it just keeps coming to your place. And so that would be good to do. Maybe someone told me the other day that they hadn't seen. I said, punch it in again and see what's happened. And they said it came right back. So that's something that is very good. The message is talking about, you know, I believe Jesus is asking these questions to get people to think deeper. Have you noticed that most of us oftentimes answer questions with something right off the top of our head? It seems this idea of meditating a little bit, think before you answer, it seems like that's getting lost in our society today. And we need a foundation. And I like a foundation. Every time when I do these studies on devotion and I get ready to do a message on the radio, I'm thinking I want a foundation there. I want something that I'm going to build this message upon. And so I love the last part of the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is often called the love chapter. Often I read statements about love. And often when I do a wedding, I did a wedding Saturday, and I read those statements about love, that love is kind, and love doesn't get jealous, and love doesn't remember the bad things, and so on. But when it comes down to the last part of the chapter, I really appreciate this, and I'm going to use it for our foundation for today's message. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I no longer used childish ways. I love that. I love that idea. I love the idea that, you know, kids are going to talk like kids. And he said, you know, I thought, I not only thought, but I also spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. And I believe when Jesus asked these questions, he's trying to get us to think just a little deeper. Let me go on and say, we'll tell you what the rest of the verse says. Now we see through a blurred image. It's like in a mirror. Then we will see very clearly. Now God says, while you're down here on planet Earth, you're looking at all these spiritual things through a blurred image. Now you can't see very clearly. Now my knowledge is not complete. Did you hear that? You don't know everything about everything. My knowledge is now incomplete. Then I will have complete knowledge as God has complete knowledge of me. So these three, he says, will remain forever. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, or the best of these, is love. God's saying it's all about love. And he wants to remind us. And we can use love sometimes when we're a little child. We can talk with some love language of a child. But he's reminding us we need to have our life founded upon this word of God. First, we need to remind ourselves that all of life is a learning process. Have you come to that yet? All of life is a learning process. I love that we are reminded that when we were a child, we spoke, we thought, and we reasoned like a child. We also reminded that when we became adult, we should no longer use childish ways to get our ways. Have you noticed that no matter if we're a teenager, a young adult, a middle-aged person, or an older person, no matter what age we are, we speak, we think, and we reason. Whatever age we are. That's the way it is, folks. But hopefully, as we move through the different stages of life, we become more mature as adults, and we put away some of that childish behavior. But I also believe another thought, because we're kind of a duplex, so to speak. I believe in every man, there's a little boy. And I believe in every woman, there is a little girl. And can I be honest with you this morning? I like it when that little boy shows up inside of me at 85. just some little boy things. I love it when my wife shows up, that little girl shows up and her way of life. I told her that the other day. I said, well, she ordered herself another doll. She has a little doll collection, and she found the one that she didn't have, and so she ordered herself a doll. I said, Bevy, that's the little girl in you. That's all right. That's okay to be that way. The second reason we need to think a little deeper than we normally would think is because we need to realize we're looking through this blurred image. We need to take a second glance in the mirror. I love it what it talks about in James. It says, sometimes you and I look in the mirror and then we walk away and forget what we see. So he tells us God's word's a mirror. God's word's a mirror for to look in and see how we're doing. We don't just look at it and see the image that comes back to us from the mirror. We need to realize how we're doing the way God has told us in his word. And so that's the reason our knowledge is incomplete. God does promise that someday we'll see very clearly and that our knowledge will be complete. We'll be like God. We'll have knowledge like God has. And you know something else? God knows all about me right now this morning as I sit here doing this radio broadcast. He knows everything about me. You know, I don't even know if I know everything about me. Some things it seems like we're just learning, you know. But he tells us someday we will know God and everything about God. Someday we're going to understand why things turned out the way they did. Because God saw something that you and I didn't see. And then he reminds us. These three remain. These are one of the three main things. It's like that three-legged stool I used to use when I milk cows. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. But then he does tell us, the greatest of these is love. I believe there's another reason why we need to realize that we don't have our thinking all together, and why God's Son, Jesus, is asking us to think a little deeper than we normally do. It's like I recorded for us Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not your thoughts. My ways are different from your ways. As high as the heaven are above the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts above yours. We got to start thinking the way God thinks. We were living in God's world. We're asking for his blessing upon our life. Someday we're going to stand before him. I think it would be good. I think it would be good that you and I would know what God thinks about things. That brought to my mind when I was studying for the devotion time a question that is asked in Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? See, God's saying, you and I got to come to some kind of an agreement. We got to come to some kind of agreement. As I share with you my thinking and where your thinking don't measure up, we got to do something about that. That's why I've always liked one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 1:18. The Lord says, come now. He says that to a teenager. He says that to a young person, a middle-aged person, an old person. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they're red, they shall be as white as snow. God says, I want you to come and reason about this thing called life with me. And I believe we need to do that. I believe that's one of the purposes that Jesus is going to ask these questions that he's going to ask this morning. And the first question I want to see that the Lord ask, and I think he wants a deeper thing off of our minds. He doesn't just want us to give a quick pat little answer, a cookie cutter answer. He wants us to think about it. Jesus told a story about, he says, we're talking to the people, he says, he's telling this idea. Can a blind man lead another blind man? No. Both of them will fall into a ditch. A student is not better than his teacher. But when the student has fully learned all that he has been taught, did you get that? When he has fully learned all he has been taught. Sometimes I've said to Christians, you don't need no new teachings. You just need to practice what you know. Have you got yourself in trouble? Haven't I got myself in trouble? When we didn't practice what we know, let me do that again. A student is not better than the teacher. But when the student has fully learned all that he has been taught, and then he'll be like the teacher. You'll get the information not only that the teacher shared, but why the teacher shared that information. Why do you notice a little piece of dust that is on your brother's eye, but you don't see a big piece of wood that is in your own eye? Why do you say, you cannot see to get that piece of wood in your own eye, but you're going to try to take that dust out of your neighbor's eye? He said, you're a hypocrite. Listen to what he says that we need to do. First, take the piece of wood out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your brother's eye. He's getting us to admit who we are. And then I love it because Jesus always did this. He says, I want to use some trees to illustrate this. A good tree does not produce bad fruit. And a bad tree does not produce good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. People don't gather figs from a thorn burst. They don't get grapes from bushes. A good person has good things saved up in his heart, and so he brings good things out of his heart. But an evil person has evil things saved up in his heart, so he brings bad things out of his heart. A person speaks the things that is in their heart. So here comes Jesus' question after all of that. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Now, he's looking for an answer. He's reminding us that he wants us to think deeper about what our answer is going to be. He just don't want off the top of head thinking. He wants you to meditate. Why do you call Jesus Lord and do not do what he says? All of this scripture that I read before is telling us about being a doer, but it's telling us not just that you're going to get the dust out of somebody else's eye, but do you be a doer to get the beam out of your eye? That's what he wants us to know, and that's what he wants us to understand. He said, don't just be a blind person leading another blind person. You're both going to fall into the ditch. And you're a student. And a student needs to learn. Learn what the teacher is teaching. Learn why the teacher is teaching. So now he's asking. And I believe he's asking me. I believe he's asking you. Why do you call me Lord, but do not do what I say? Jesus, as the teacher, was giving the people the mind of God as he shared the word of God. I love Jesus' method to get us to think a little deeper. Like, do you understand that if a blind needs a blind, they both fall into the ditch? Do you understand about the student? He needs to practice the teachings and he can become like the teacher. Do you understand? You can't see to take a little piece of dust out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye. Jesus then lets them know that there is good and there is bad. Do you know the difference between good and bad? Do you realize that what's out of your heart that's going to come, these things that is necessary for us to realize what is a part of our life? So Jesus is saying, I've been teaching you the word of God to this group of people. I've been teaching you the word of God so you would know that these things were something very special. And I think God is reminding us that we need to do what he says to do. In the book of James again, which is practical Christianity, he says, not only be a hearer of the word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. He wants us to realize that by doing the Word of God, that's when blessing is coming into your life and blessing is coming into my life. Jesus asked another question in a different situation. There was a rich ruler that came to Jesus, but this rich ruler was ready to give an answer right off the top of his head. But Jesus wanted him to think deeper than that. What's your motivation for life? He's saying to this rich man by the question he asked. And the rich man came to Jesus. And I don't know if he's just trying to be kind to Jesus or just trying to influence him a little bit. But anyway, he said to him, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" It's recorded in Luke chapter 18, 18 through 27. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." "Why do you call me good?" he said. "Haven't you learned yet that God is good? Or are you kind of connecting me with God? Call me good teacher. You want to know what to do to inherit the kingdom of God." He said, "You know the commandments," because this guy studied the commandments. I mean, he was a teacher of the commandments. Jesus said, "You know what it says," so he names a few of them. "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And the ruler said to Jesus, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There's one thing you lack. One thing you lack." You know, I think when I read that, I was thinking, I believe this ruler was calling Jesus a good teacher because I think he thought he was Mr. Goody Two Shoes. "I've kept all these commands." I wonder if he really did always honor his father and mother. I wonder if he didn't have no repertoire in his mind of ever stealing anything. I remember once when we lived in Sydney, there was a Quarles grocery store. And I walked down there and remember now we had nine in our family. I'm not excusing myself for it, but we had nine in our family. And he had a bunch of stack of watermelons outdoors. And when I got the things that Mom sent me to get from the store, I didn't pick the biggest one. I just picked up one of those watermelons, and I carried it home. It was about a mile. When I got home, told Mom I found this watermelon. She said, "I remember yesterday seeing watermelons out in front of the store. Did you take one of those watermelons?" And I said, "Yes." You know what she made me do? Carry it all the way back to the store. I tell you, it was a lot further going back than it was coming home. I was excited to be coming home. We're going to have this watermelon. I wonder if this man is saying, "I never stole anything." Does he really know what he's saying? Does he really know what's controlling his life? "One thing you still lack." Now listen to what he said. I told you at the first he was a rich man. He didn't say that to Jesus that he was rich. But Jesus says, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. That's dangerous. Somebody asked me one time, it's always been my answer, "How much money does a rich man need?" And my answer was then, and my answer is now, a little more than he has. That's what he wants. The rich want to become richer. That's the problem we're faced with today as a nation as well. So all you have and come and follow me. Give it to the poor. But when he heard this, he was a very sad man. And Jesus looked at him with sadness. And then Jesus says, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. Now listen to what he says. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. I want to take a little break, listen to a little song. Nothing is impossible. And I'll be right back and we'll finish up what we've been talking about in that particular verse. But let's listen to this song first and let's allow God to speak to our hearts, not because of riches, but to make us think just a little deeper. Well, I'm sorry about that, folks. I have really been blessed these last few weeks that every song wanted to take off, but that song doesn't want to take off. It's just reminding us that God is telling us in his word that realization that things might not be possible for us to do, but with God, anything is possible. So let's just go back to what I was saying and this kind of have. I can't sing no song to you. I don't even have the words. But, you know, I think the idea is he's asking this man, why do you call me good? And I think the answer to that is the realization that he thought he was pretty good too. And to which Jesus tells him that there's only one thing lacking in his life. And that is, not that he had riches, but that the riches had him. I believe that is true in the word extremely rich. Extremely rich says to me he wanted more. Matter of fact, he even asked, what his question in the first place was, how do I inherit eternal life? I've kept the commandments, what's lacking? And Jesus said, you need to sell all that you have. Come and follow me. Haven't you seen that in your lifetime? It's not as if people have riches, but the riches have them. And in the religious world in that day, in the religious world, it was often taught that it was proof that God's approval was on a person if they had riches. And sometimes we think that's the way it is too. If you got all your blessings, you got all this stuff, and you got all these things, that shows that God's really blessing you. I got to tell you, folks, he's telling us that money can keep you from not being the most likely candidate for heaven. I believe there's always been godly people who have been rich, but too often, like the man, they expected to be treated differently because they were rich. This man, when he heard what Jesus said he was lacking, became very sad. And as Jesus watched him, Jesus became very sad. And so then that's when he says how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, I looked this up, and I got to tell you, folks, sometimes when I look up things about the study, what their thought is, and people who studied all that, somebody says, well, there's a gate in Jerusalem that was called the eye of a needle, and it just had a low gate. So somebody came with a camel. They said, you know, the camel had to be unloaded of the load that he had. Then the camel would get down on his knees and could enter, and then the load would be put back on the camel. But it says there's not everybody believes that. They don't have enough proof for that. And they had several others, and I'm not going to go into all the others. You know what spoke the most to me was just thinking of it like this. My wife has some needles. But what a needle I was thinking about was a needle that I used when I worked in the muck fields. after the onions had been harvested. Then we'd get an order for a truckload of onions, and we'd sort the onions. I had a needle that was about 5 inches long. And then what you use was something that was called binder twine. And I'd thread that binder twine into that needle. We'd put 50 pounds of onions in the bag, and then I would sew the top of the bag. I think, to me, I say to myself, I remember how hard that was to put that binder twine into the eye of the needle, even though it was a pretty good size eye. I think it would be hard to get a camel through the eye of the needle. And when I watched my wife here a while back, she was trying to thread a needle, and she had a tough time threading that needle. That was just a needle to sew a button on. I think Jesus is saying, you know what? With mankind, it's impossible. But with God, it is a possibility. God can do that. And you know what I think God tells us is possible with him? I think he tells us all things are possible. All things are possible to those that believe. We need to trust in God. It isn't our faith. It's because of who God is and the bigness of God and the ability of God. So Jesus asked a question of this man, why do you call me good? To get him to think a little deeper about what was controlling his life. And when he thought a little deeper, when he heard, sell all that you have, give it to the poor. Come and follow me. You have two things. You have somebody to follow, and I'll lead you through to eternal life. And not only that, when you get to heaven, your money has caused some things to help other people. But that man walked away sad. He asked another question. This question was, what do you think? This idea of the question he asked of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day. You know, I think Jesus knew when he came here. The religious leaders had led many people astray. And he knew that it was a thing that they needed to deal with. So the religious leaders, he was one day asking them, what do you think? Let me give you the setting for this. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawn near to Jesus to hear him. Jesus was speaking to the tax collectors and the sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled at Jesus. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And that causes Jesus to ask a question. And it just comes this way. They told their answer off the top of their head what they thought about Jesus. They also told their answer off the top of their head what they thought about the tax collectors and the sinners. They don't have an opportunity. They don't have no chance. They're lost. They're done for. So then Jesus says this. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go search for the one that has went astray? And if he finds it, and truly I say to you, he rejoices over that one sheep more than the 99 that have never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father that anybody in heaven, that any of these little ones would not go to heaven and not be hindered. He's reminding him, the shepherd lost one of his sheep. He lost his sheep, and what he found out was that one of his sheep was missing. And he went looking for that sheep until he found it. And when he found it, he knew that he rejoiced and brought it back to the fold. He goes on, Jesus says, what do you think? A woman had 10 silver coins. Women did that in those days. The coins all represented something. If she loses one of the coins, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house? And she seeks diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that had been lost." "Just so," Jesus said. I want to tell you something. I want you to think about this. There's joy before the angels of God over one sinner that repents. One sinner repents causes rejoicing in heaven. What do you think about this? I think he's telling them, you got to think deeper, you scribes and Pharisees. You're the religious leaders. I like this thought that's in Proverbs 4:23. Be very careful about what you think. Your thoughts will run your life. Let me do that again. Be careful. Be very careful about what you think. Your thoughts run your life. And their thoughts was running their life. They were saying, these are nobodies. These are no gooders. There's no hope for them. We are the religious. We are the ones headed to the kingdom of heaven. You see, when they grumbled that Jesus received them, they revealed their religious thinking by criticizing Jesus about spending time with these people. In their thinking, if Jesus was who he claims to be, the Son of God, he would not be spending time with these kind of people. That's sad thinking, folks. They needed to think deeper. I love that both of these stories, Jesus showed that he places a very high value on one thing, one lost sheep. One lost coin. There's another story in one wandering lost child. He places that needs to be found. And he tells us the realization that is exactly what he has come to do. And then he adds so much more to it when he said, I tell you, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. That makes heaven smile. That makes heaven praise God. I believe that makes heaven be a praise to the Lord Jesus since he's died and went back to heaven. I believe you and I need to know. One of the things that I've always loved about the Apostle Paul, he one day was a sinner. He was a religious man. But he was a sinner, but he didn't think like these scribes and Pharisees. He was a sinner. And when he heard about people believing in this one Jesus, he went out to do whatever he could to put him in prison, maybe even kill him if it was necessary. And on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus struck him down. And Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. And one day he was talking to the young man Timothy. He says, Timothy, this is the kind of stuff you need to preach. He's saying, this is a trustworthy saying. And we need to know that this is something that needs to happen. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And then Paul added this statement, of whom I am the chief sinner. I love that. I love that. I'm the chief sinner. You know what, folks? I believe with all of my heart, your opinion of sin will cause you to really thank God or just take him for granted. If you realize that sin is sin, and if you realize that's something that is very important, needs to be forgiven. You need to repent of that. See, these Pharisees, these religious people of Jesus' day, they thought they were pretty good people. They didn't think they needed a Savior. And Jesus is trying to tell them, that's why I come into this world. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we need to know that was something that was very important for them to get a hold of and something that they needed for their life. Jesus had a lot of difficulty with the religious leaders. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I want to tell you, there was a time when Jesus was in the temple. Let me just read it for you from Matthew 21. Then Jesus went into the temple courtyard and he began to teach. The chief priests and the leaders of the people came to him. They asked him, "Who gives you the right to do these things? Who told you that you could do this?" Jesus answered them, "I too have a question for you. If you answer it for me and tell me why I have the right, then I'll tell you why I have the right to do these things." So Jesus said, "The question is this: did John's baptism come from heaven, or was that something that humans brought about?" John's baptism, they knew who John the Baptist was. Did he come from heaven, or is that something human? The people started thinking about it, and they did get a little deeper thought. We're afraid of what the crowd might do. And so these people think about John's as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." They're just afraid, you know. The people thought John the Baptist was a prophet. Now all of a sudden these religious leaders are saying he came from human. It wasn't from God. They're going to have trouble on their hands. I love it that Jesus said, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." But he said, "I do want to tell you a story." I love Jesus. I love his way of ministry. I want to tell you a story. What do you think about this? A man had two sons. He went to the first son and he said, "Son, go work in my vineyard today." His son replied, "I don't want to." But he later changed his mind, and he went. The father went to the oldest son and told him the same thing. He replied, "I will, sir. I'll do it right away." But he didn't go. He didn't go do it. Which of the two sons did what the father wanted? And all of those religious people said, the one that did what the father asked. Now listen to what Jesus says. And this must have been tremendously hard. That's why probably from this time on they thought, "We got to get rid of Jesus." He was speaking to their hearts. Jesus said, "I can guarantee you this truth. Tax collectors, prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you religious people. John came to show you the way God wanted you to live. But you didn't believe him. The tax collector and the prostitutes believed him. But even after you had seen what he did, you didn't change your mind and believe him." That's pretty strong. That's very strong. You know why it can be that strong? Because Jesus knows the price he's going to pay. Jesus knows that he's going to be one of the hardest questions ahead of him that he would ever have to ask. As life went on, the religious leaders turned against him. It was the religious leaders that worked the crowd and worked the politics of their day. They worked the crowd so that all of a sudden, the people who had a week before said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." A week later, because of the political climate, because of the religious leaders wanting to kill Jesus. Can you imagine that? They wanted to kill Jesus. What ends up happening is they cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar." And they took him and they judged him and they nailed him on a cross. And one of the hardest questions that Jesus had asked all of his lifetime was asked there from the cross. When all of a sudden him, this one Jesus who knew no sin, was willing to become sin for you and I, he cried out to the Father, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God the Father couldn't look upon his son Jesus because he was dying for all the sins of the world. And we need to know that he died instead of each one of us. I got a song I want us to listen to, and I don't know if it's going to work or not, so I'm going to give it a try. If it doesn't, I'll just click right back and wrap up the service myself. But this song is a good song if we can get it to play for us, and we'll just see what can happen with it.
To follow.